Microphone check. So I'll be reading the latest version of 10.9 now. So on the cover, we have a work of art by Skills Recognized Skills artist Kelly, forgot Kelly's last name. We open the book. We have our publishing information as usual. There's a blank page on page 5, and then page 6 and 7, there's a spread that shows images of cartoon depictions of me in different scenarios, images of what I saw. So we have the number 109 in the center and other depictions from Machu Picchu, Japan, Korea, Ethiopia, and Sweden. The next two pages, 8 and 9, there is an image that I took while in Oman of the sky with the two lines that captivated my attention and imagination. The caption reads, "This photo was taken exactly 7 days after Nipsey Hussle was murdered. In this photo, lines in the sky are visible. Two lines intersect to form what appears to be a crucifix in the sky. How these lines were created is a mystery, because essentially, this is a no-fly zone. However, these lines look as though airplanes created them." Again, strictly speaking, or technically, this is not a no-fly zone. A no-fly zone implies that airplanes that area does not receive air traffic whatsoever. But I lived in that region for six months. And over that time, the only airplanes that flew overhead, they flew at about 38,000 or what appeared to me to be about 38,000 feet, you know, extremely high in the sky. And I bring that detail into this discussion because when I looked at those lines in the sky that morning, those lines looked like they were about 10,000 feet in the sky. So basically what I'm saying is they looked very close to the ground. They looked much closer to the ground than those airplanes, when I saw them flying in the skies. And mind you, it would be quite difficult to find an airplane flying in the sky at that altitude. You'd have to, you know, pretty much really search for that airplane, especially during the day. However, at night, that was a different situation because you could see the blinking lights from the airplane, which would indicate that it's an airplane and not a star when looking into the sky. Otherwise, it would seem as if it were a no-fly zone because you would not see airplanes flying overhead during the daytime. So once again, seeing lines in the sky that usually are created by airplanes, seeing them in the sky but not seeing airplanes would lead one to believe like this is a rare occasion. This is something, you know, unexplainable, because the key component that you need for these lines to exist, you know, doesn't. The key component doesn't exist. So how did these lines get there? You know, that's the mystery. All right, so we have the next two pages, 10 and 11, and we have some quotes from the late Dr. Roland Jefferson, to a quote from Nipsey Hussle, and then another quote from me. We move into, I guess, the title page on pages 12 and 13. We have the title 109, and behind it we have a number of utterances, phrases, words. And this is a work of art. This page here is meant to represent all of the connections, all of the dots that I have connected, all of the things that have stuck out in my memory as of late with relation or in relation to the story of 10-9. On the next page, 14 and 15, we have the cartoon. We have small pictures, small renderings of the cartoon images that were created for this publication. On 16 and 17, those images continue. Taken together, those images tell of these isolated incidents when I encountered 10-9. The point of this book is to highlight this, highlight these new renderings, so as to depict, really show, you know, people. So, I guess throughout history, we've always had a problem with people reading text, right? So many images were created because people were not reading. That goes back to ancient times with the Egyptians and the hieroglyphics. Images were used rather than words. Well, images and words, but images were certainly equally impactful, which is why they used it. All right, so on the next page, 20 and 21, we have four images related to South Korea. And this is the first time I'm talking about experiences, and these experiences happen in Korea. Here we go. Around the age of 8, I began studying the Korean martial art of Taekwondo. I continued to learn martial arts throughout my adolescence and young adult years. By the time I turned 17, I was already a second degree black belt. My first martial arts instructor always told me that I would one day go to South Korea. He suggested that it would be good for me to learn the martial art in the country where it was created. However, I never knew when I would have enough money to ever purchase a ticket. That's what it to. Purchase a ticket to fly to Korea. Let me read that again. However, I never knew when I would have enough money to purchase a ticket to fly to Korea. Life is funny. After I earned my college degree, I found that I could not find a job in Los Angeles. So I talked with my friend Kevin, and he suggested that I look for a job in Asia. He had heard there were jobs there, so I did. So I began to look for jobs in Asia. I actually found a great job too. In March 2007, I flew to South Korea, where I began working as an English teacher. Upon arrival, I met Luke. He and I became fast friends because we were both the same age, and we were both English teachers. That's a little run on. He and I became fast friends. Luke and I were both the same age, and we were both English teachers. We were able to celebrate our birthdays together since we were born on October 9th. What was even better was the fact that in Korea, October 9th is a national holiday. That meant that Luke and I didn't have to work on our birthday. All right, so that's the first story about moving to Korea, meeting Luke, learning about Korea's holiday. Still in Korea, but I'm talking about my travels to Japan now. Although I was grateful to have a job in South Korea, I often desired to travel to other countries. Japan was one of the closest countries to which I could travel to cheaply. I found that I loved eating Japanese udon noodles, and when I traveled to Japan, I would go to my favorite udon restaurant, Nikku Udon. I traveled by ferry boat between Korea and Japan because it was quite affordable. Because it was affordable. In October 2015, I decided to travel to Japan to celebrate my birthday. I recall going to a local ramen restaurant where I was curiously ushered to booth number 10. When I looked up at the booth's number, I could see that the number 9 was just above the booth to my right. The numbers in Japan are written from right to left, not left to right, as they are written in English. So there I was, staring at 10-9 all over again. A day or two later, when I returned to Korea from Japan, I was even assigned a ticket on ferry number 109. What made these coincidences even more peculiar was the fact that after I arrived in Korea, I was assigned a seat in row 10 on a train that would eventually take me to my final destination. Right on page 24 and 25, I have more pictures of my trip to Japan, but they don't coincide. So I'm talking about the ramen, the ferry. Japan. I guess I'm okay, so that was South Korea. So now we move on to Japan. And Japan, I went to Japan 3 times in 2013. I went to Japan 5 times in 2015. I simply really enjoyed traveling to Japan from South Korea. It helped that I traveled by ferry, which was extremely affordable. If I caught a weekend deal, sometimes it cost only $60 round trip. I remember it like it was yesterday. During my first trip to Tokyo, Japan, a couple of things grabbed my attention. Firstly, it was the sight of the word Tokyo. I wondered why the Japanese had misspelled the name of their capital city. Secondly, for obvious reasons, I felt all kinds of warm and fuzzy feelings when I spotted Shibuya 109. Many years after my visits to Japan, I learned what Tokyo means, and it shocked the shit out of me. Literally. I guess I shouldn't tell you what it means. Some mystery is better than none. Google can maybe help you. The one thing that I learned from my adventures to Japan is that numbers are important. At least in Japan, I had found some semblance of meaning of the number 109. I was satisfied with what I had learned about 109 in Japan. After all, Japan is such a wonderful country where amazingly wonderful people reside. On pages 30 and 31, I have pictures, actual pictures of, let's see, I have a picture taken at the ramen restaurant when I was seated at booth 10. And I looked up and I saw 10-9. I guess that's when I was in Japan in 2015, that might have been a very pivotal time in the 10-9 saga. It was the trips to Japan. It was being ushered to seat 10. looking up and seeing 10-9 written in Japanese. It was boarding the ferry boat from, let's see, yeah, from Hakata to Busan, and noticing that the ferry number was 109. Going into the Apple store and discovering that the Apple watches, iPhones, iPads, you name it, they were all set to the same time, 10:09. That all occurred in the same weekend. So there was this cacophony, this reverberation of 10:09 happening in 2015 when I was there. And 2015 was this wildly spiritual year for me as well, because I had never traveled as much as I had traveled in 2015. I took a leap of faith when I left Los Angeles in 2007, but in 2015, when I was just zipping, flying from country to country all over the globe, that was truly a year of leaps of faith. I was boarding planes left and right. I even flew from Los Angeles back to Korea and then back to Los Angeles within 1 week. You see, I was in Korea. Oh, wait, no, that's not true. No, I was in Los Angeles. I was going to say I was in Korea, then I flew to LA, and then I flew back to Korea and then back to LA. No, that's not it. I was in LA and I flew back to Korea. And then within 2 days, I flew right back to LA. That's what happened to me. And the only reason why I can make some sense out of that experience is that, well, business travelers, people travel for business like that all the time. They board planes and they have a meeting, and then they board a plane and they're out of there and they go somewhere else. That's the only way that makes any sense. I mean, part of my story is that I had things to do, situations, you know, allowed for me to come back. My dad paid for me to come back, and voila, I was back. I couldn't afford to do that, but he could. Come on, son, come on back home. All right, Dad, I'm on my way. Mexico. Was sweet. With this AI technology, I'm on a tangent here. I'm not reading from the book. With this AI technology, AI, you know, is supposed to be able to create the image that we instruct AI to create. I played with AI tonight, AI generators, and I found it lacking. I found that it's not where we need it to be. Where it should be. It's not there. I found that to be true for AI. And for what I have in this book, for the images that I have, for the experiences, and for the breadth of experience, the wealth of experience, the vastness of my travels, and the depictions in the work, for it to have covered the globe, I guess I'm basically saying AI, all the technology that we have today can't even do it the way that it's already been done. Like, I wonder, I'm going to try something. I'm going to try to type in as many details as possible into AI and hope for the best. Hope that they can render an image like the one that I'm staring at right now. The images of an actual experience that I had, a picture that I took when I was in Mexico. Picture is of the radio, a car radio. Let's see, I'm going to type this in here. Let's see. All right. I'm gonna type it. Okay, it is an image of a car radio. The radio is, let's see, the FM AM radio has a CD player. The radio station is set to 100.9. I notice AI has, now AI might have trouble with hands, fingers, and so forth, but AI has trouble with numbers as well. Radio station is set to 100.9. There is a cell phone near the radio. The cell phone monitor, cell phone screen says Larry on it. Okay, I've set all of that into this, and we're going to see if it can generate the description that I. It is an image of a car radio. The FM AM radio has a CD player. The radio station is set to 100.9. There is a cell phone near All right. Okay. You know what? AI did a pretty good job. I see everything. Basic, no. Let me slow down. Let me slow my roll. The details. Oh gosh. All right, ladies and gentlemen, AI has failed. There's no way. I mean, once AI produces this image, you have to go in and you've got to make alterations. You got to change it. All right. You got to change it. There's no way that for all of the details I entered, AI was not able to produce an image like what I stated. Well, the image is like it, but now the work begins. You've got to alter these images, you know, tremendously. So I have an image, basically, that AI cannot duplicate, cannot create. Not today. AI can't duplicate the image that I have. The fact that I have the images, the fact that I have the travel, the experience, all of that taken together, oh my gosh, this is a phenomenal work. This is a phenomenal, inspiring story that I think any young person, young adult, should absolutely see, read, and, you know, and take with them, because this is real. This is real, y'all. It's not imagined. It's really what has happened and what is happening, what continues to happen. And the fact that I'm bringing it right back to, you know, Romans 10:9, Jesus is, that's wholly inspiring for anyone, whether they be Jewish, Muslim, or Christian, or Buddhist. I'm going to just leave it at that. Man, this book, this thing is inspiring right here. You want to know, you want to hear some inspiring stuff? This is it right here. Yeah, he found those numbers all over the world. That's right. That's what it is. All right. X out of here. We're going to save that for sure. Crack it.